Please be seated.
All I can say is, blessed are the flexible. Praise the Lord Jesus. The scripture this morning comes to us from Matthew. We got it. 28, 1 through 7. How about if we read it together? After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." May the Lord bless his word. In the twinkling of an eye, our life can be changed. It just happened within seconds that we can go from exuberant joy to total hopelessness. All it takes is a tragedy. Jesus' disciples had held strongly to the hope of an earthly kingdom, an earthly establishment. As a matter of fact, on Thursday, they were arguing about who was going to be the first one in the kingdom, who was going to be the chief, the one in charge of everything else. Undoubtedly, they were the most vocal of those who hailed Jesus on Palm Sunday, the Sunday before. They were crying out, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were so excited. But all of a sudden, their hopes were shattered. And it all began when they saw that Jesus was apprehended in the Garden of Gethsemane. They saw the soldiers come in. And the disciples got so afraid, so fearful, that they went into hiding. They fled for safety. They didn't stay around to see what would happen. They were suffering. They were not even around to help Jesus carry his cross. None of the disciples had the courage to ask for Jesus' body to prepare for burial. But a member of the Sanhedrin, his name was Joseph, he went and he asked for the body. Neither they come to the tomb. Why? Because of fear and shock. Have you ever experienced that kind of fear? None of you, I'm the only one, okay. The phone rings, and you get the bad news. And all of a sudden, you cannot even move because fear has you bound. You can't even think clearly. That's exactly how the disciples were feeling. The crucifixion of Jesus meant complete disillusionment, broken dreams. And this brings us to the seventh question we have been dealing with 7 essential questions that we would ask ourselves during our lifetime. Last week was, what about suffering? And this week is there hope in the midst of tragedy? This is the question that the disciples were wrestling with. The word hope is defined as having an aspiration, anticipation, expectation, a wish for something good. Now, the biblical definition of hope is greater than the world's definition of hope. It goes beyond wishing for something. Our hope is solid because it is grounded on the Word of God. It is an indication of certainty. I know that 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 God has promised and He is faithful. We're reminded in Romans 5, verse 3, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. The hope that does not disappoint us. You see, biblical hope is very different than ordinary hope. Biblical hope is a gift from God. It gives us poise, and it helps us to stand during the times of tragedy and turmoil. Perhaps you have asked yourself many times, is there hope in this situation? Is there hope in the midst of my trials? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, yes, there is. There is, because Sunday is coming. There is because, as the Apostle Paul said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. As we read on the first day of the week, Sunday, all the Marys went to the tomb. And for those who don't like women preacher or don't think it's really biblical, let me tell you that these women were the first preacher after the resurrection. The male disciples were in hiding, and these women went to get the body ready for burial. And the angel came up and said, "He's not here, he is risen." And the command was, go and tell. They were the first preachers after the resurrection. Hallelujah. It's important to recognize that these women were courageous, were faithful. They were the one who sat by the cross while the disciples were in hiding. And when they heard the invitation with the command, go and tell, they went and they told. The woman found the disciples, and they told them what had happened, what they had seen, what they had heard, what they had witnessed. And here in the news, Peter and another disciple came to the tomb to find out that what these women had said was the truth. I read some years ago about the Department of Social Services in Greenville County, South Carolina. And they sent out the following letter. Your food stamps will be stopped, effective immediately, because we have received notice of your death. You may reply if there is a change of circumstances. How can they suggest that a deceased person can change his or her circumstances? My friends, that's what makes the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ so powerful and so hopeful. Jesus breaking the power of the grave. He reappeared, convincing all that were around, especially the doubting disciples, that he was alive again. Hopelessness of life is eliminated by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection power of Christ in us will raise our vision to the place of possibilities. The resurrection of Jesus Christ now only gives us eternal hope. Now, it gives us more than eternal hope. It gives us hope for life as well. I hear people say sometimes when a loved one dies, I will never see my son again. Or I will never see my daughter, my spouse, my friend. And I cry inside when I hear that. Because if you and I know Jesus Christ, if that person knows Jesus Christ, then we will see them again. That's the hope that we have. We will see our loved ones again. And we will celebrate with them. You see, people without hope are people without a future. The resurrection of Christ is our hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, you and I would be forever lost. We would truly be empty and hopeless. But because he arose from the grave and he lives forever, you and I have hope for now and for tomorrow. Yes, we are in a broken world, in a dysfunctional world, and right now in a very violent world. Now, more than ever, we need to hold on to Jesus. Now, more than ever, we need to be praying 24/7. When I'm driving and I pass by a school, I pray for that school. You might say, well, you don't have any kids in that school. They are our kids as well. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. There's some benefits that I want to share with you to biblical hope. One, biblical hope fills our hearts with peace. More than ever, we need that peace that passes all understanding. Every time Jesus met his disciples and the people, his greeting would be peace. He was ministering that peace to them. Now may the God of hope, the Bible tells us in Romans 15, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, biblical hope makes us strong. Psalm 31, be strong and let your heart take courage, all of you who hope in the Lord. It provides protection for us. Psalm 33, 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and hope for his loving kindness. It comforts us when we're facing death. And I love these verses. 1 Thessalonians 4. As Paul was leaving that congregation, he says to them, I will not see you again. And they held on to him and they began to weep. You know how we do when we're saying goodbye to loved ones or see you later? They began weeping. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. You and I have hope. Is there hope in the midst of a broken world? You betcha. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is our hope. It is solid. It is dynamic. It is active. And it is a life-changing truth. Easter Sunday, at a Sunday school class, the teacher asked the kids to go out into the playground with empty eggs and to put inside those eggs something that signifies life. One kid got a piece of grass and put it in his egg. The other one got an insect, and on and on and on. In that group, there was a little boy that had Down syndrome. When they came back into the classroom, the teacher started opening all the eggs till she got to the empty egg. The rest of the kids started laughing. They kind of knew who that egg belonged to. They started kind of mocking him. The teacher didn't know what to say. And the little boy raised his hand and he said, teacher, teacher, that's my egg. And she said, but why is it empty? Didn't you understand what I was telling you to do? And the little boy said, oh, yes, I did. My egg is empty because the tomb is empty. And I have hope. It is my prayer, my brothers and sisters, that you would have that same hope. And even in the midst of trials, when our faith shakes a little, does that happen to you? I won't ask you, it happens to me. I'll just be honest. That we would be able to hold on to each other. That's why we're the body of Christ. Because we need each other. I understand that there are people that say, I don't need to go to that church. And we find excuses. There are a bunch of hypocrites there. Well, welcome to humanity. If you don't belong to this church, if you're visiting this Sunday, or if you were visiting your mama and your mama dragged you into this church this morning, praise the Lord she did. I want to invite you to find a Bible preaching church, teaching church, that will surround you with loving people like the ones we have here. So that when your world seems to be falling apart, your brothers and sisters will come around you and hold you tight and say, come on, you can make it. We have the hope. We have the hope. And it is a living hope. Because Jesus is alive and well. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you for yielding your life and being obedient until death. For going ahead after the resurrection to prepare a place for us so that where you are, we will be also. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for ministering to our hearts this morning. Father, you know what we brought in our hearts. I pray that if there's anyone here this morning feeling hopeless, that you will minister to us right now. If there's anyone lacking peace, that you will give us the peace that passes all understanding in Christ Jesus. If there's anyone lacking joy, they're just here because that's what you do Easter Sunday, but they're going through some oppression or depression, I pray that it would be lifted up. And you will give us the oil of gladness for the spirit of heaviness and the joy unspeakable and full of glory that you promise in your word. Fill our hearts with hope. We receive it, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. May the resurrection power of Jesus Christ be upon us today and always. And the people of God say,